This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to another telecast of the Armor of God program. We appreciate you tuning in from wherever you might be viewing the program today. I'd like to take a few moments to talk with you about prayer. A strange term, really. I don't know that many of us understand the meaning of the word. We talk about praying. We see our children praying or teach them to pray. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord thy soul to keep. If you should die before you wake, you pray the Lord your soul to take. Many of us learned that as children. But the word prayer or pray, do we comprehend what it means? I got to thinking about this in relationship to Old English. If you are a Shakespeare fan, you will know that many times in his plays and his writings, he would use the term, I pray thee, in relationship to Hamlet speaking to Ophelia or Lady Macbeth talking to King Macbeth, and this term, I pray thee, would come up. Years ago, I gave a sermon in Tyler, Texas, about prayer, and I did an extensive research. I went through many scriptures that translated the Hebrew or the Greek term into the word prayer or pray. And here's what I discovered, that the term pray really means simply to ask. To ask. Now, in asking, many times we have relationships, whether it's parent to child or husband to wife or friend to neighbor or whatever it might be, when we ask things of other people. We ask of our employer. We ask of our employees. So in one sense, if we were using the old English terminology, I pray thee, we would simply be asking. Well, your Bible, the Holy Bible, is filled with terminology that is translated as prayer or praying. The question is, do you pray? And how effective is your prayer? And to whom are you praying? Let's pinpoint today what the Bible teaches about the issue of prayer. Now, I cannot sum up in a matter of 20 plus minutes everything you need to know about this subject. And so we're going to make some offers to you today that will help stimulate your understanding of prayer and how to make your prayer life even more effective. But first, turn with me to the 11th chapter of the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and see what is recorded there. It says in verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying, Jesus, in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John, referring to John the Baptist, also taught his disciples. Now that's a rather penetrating deal. These were grown men. How is it that they had not learned how to pray? Is it that they had come from unpraying families? Being Jews, as many of them were, wouldn't they have been privy to some understanding from the Old Testament, from the examples of those written in what is called the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible of praying people? And in fact, many examples exist in the Old Testament of people successfully having prayers answered, like Hezekiah, who was told by the prophet Isaiah, you only have a short time to live before you die. And it says in various passages of the Old Testament, both in Chronicles and Kings, that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to God that his life be spared. And before Isaiah could get out of the courtyard from where he had visited the king, God spoke to Isaiah and sent him back in response to the prayer of Hezekiah and told Hezekiah through Isaiah, I will give you 15 more years. I have heard your prayer. And of course, David talks a lot about prayer and communicating with God. So that's what we want to spotlight today, and I believe we're going to learn some things as we continue following what Jesus said regarding prayer in today's program. But first, I want to remind you of what we're offering. In today's program, we have a couple of items that I believe are very beneficial to you. In fact, it comes in the form of two CDs. And the title of the CD is Positive Power of Prayer. I've done these sermons before a live audience where I go and examine, for instance, the powerful dedicatory prayer of Solomon, the king, who followed his father David on the throne of Israel, and how effective that prayer was as you find it in the Old Testament. And then I go into some other aspects of prayer that I believe you will find beneficial. All you need to do to receive this free material is to dial 1-888-578-8791. It's a toll-free number. Or you can visit us on our website at www.cgi.org. And by the way, the tapes that we formerly offered are not available any longer. They are only in CD form. Only in CD form. So make the toll-free call. Visit us on our website to obtain this material. Now, continuing with today's program, Jesus had a very interesting response. It's a misunderstood response in many ways. But I suggest that if we go through this passage today, we will find some instruction that will help illuminate for us. Some of you who watch this program are wrestling with the issue of prayer. You don't know, should it be audible? Is it something you think in your mind? Should you stand? Should you kneel? Should you bow? Should you lay prostrate on the ground? We have all kinds of questions. I remember a former colleague says, well, you know, when it comes to what form you will take in prayer, whether you're kneeling or standing or whatever, if you were upside down hanging in a well, I think the position wouldn't be important. You would probably just want to pray and ask for rescue in that circumstance. So you wouldn't be quibbling about, should I kneel, should I bow, should I hold my hands in a certain fashion and all those kinds of things. But in response to the disciples, Jesus said to them, verse 2 of chapter 11 of the book of Luke, he says, when you pray, say. Now I have to pause just right there because many times we think that if we simply think it, that's sufficient. But Christ here is making a point that you must say what it is. There must be an audible presentation in most cases. Now, if you cannot speak, if, as we use the term, dumb, and that's maybe a disparaging term, but it was how it was used in past years, to refer to a person who could not speak, if you were in that condition, then what you think becomes important. But my point here is that Jesus is requiring in this example that he's about to give that you say what it is you want to communicate to God, because thinking it is not enough. Many times we have prayed, we think, because we have thought it. We've just thought a thought. But how then do you drive up to a drive-through window at a convenience store or what you call a fast food place? And some voice comes on and says, may I help you, please? And you say, I'm thinking of something that I would like to eat, but you don't communicate it. Well, you're liable to get nothing, the first thing, or something that you may not find palatable if you're asking somebody to read your mind. It's not that God cannot look into our innermost being and know our deepest desires. But Jesus is making a point here about saying it. Now, many times in our state of being, we say things both positively or negatively discerned. Many times we claim negativity to ourselves by saying it. I'm sick. I'm poor. Life is unfair. All kinds of negative notions that we send out into the airwaves that come back to us as true. What if we uttered positive things? What if we expressed positivity, and especially in the art form of prayer? Jesus here is about to prescribe for us a methodology that will cause God to respond. He goes on to say, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. Now, that's in the King James, and I'm not using the New King James or NIV or other modern translations, but I'm sticking with the King James for now. So when we pray, we reference God as a Father. Now, Jesus is speaking to all of the disciples, so he says, our. But you can conclude that God the Father is your Father, my Father. There's a relationship, just as you have a relationship with your children. If you don't have children, you can watch others who do. You can remember what relationship you may have had with your own parents, and I'm trusting that it was a positive one, because the Father in heaven is a positive God. And Jesus here says you should reference him as our Father, which art in heaven, designating his location. Now, I'm going to segue over to Matthew 6 for a moment, because in Matthew 6, Jesus has a wording here, as is stated by Matthew, as indicating that this prayer that's often called the Lord's Prayer is really an example prayer, a type of prayer, a model prayer. For in Matthew 6 and verse 9, it says, after this manner, therefore, pray you. After this example, pray you this way. Now, I'm suggesting to you, if you consider this example prayer, is chock full of good stuff, powerful illuminations that will assist you. First of all, to make a connection with your Heavenly Father, the one who caused Adam and Eve to be developed on the earth, that is, to sustain their lives, that Father that sent Jesus Christ to the earth, that supplied him with every need, every circumstance, every encouragement that he needed to carry out the process of being the Savior of the world, that God, that Father can have a relationship with you, and Jesus Christ instructs us that we can pray to him. Hallowed be thy name. In other words, the very first portion of our prayers should not be gimme, gimme. But it should be hallowing or praising or extolling the greatness of this God that we come before, whom we can have a personal connection to by the term, the intimate term of Father. So it's not a stranger. It's not a foreboding figure. It's not an unapproachable being that we have to cow and scrape before in abject fear and trembling. But it's a personal relationship. That's what Jesus Christ is indicating to us. So we go back then to Luke, the 11th chapter, and continue. Hallowed be thy name. Now, many sacred namers love to spend time talking about you must pronounce the name in a certain way. Now, I don't think there's any prima facie evidence as to how it may have been pronounced. But if it is Yahweh, fine. If it's Yahweh, fine. If it's Jehovah, you know, you take your pick. But I've never called my father by his first name to his face, nor my mother. That would have been cruising for a bruising. I know in many traditions, and there are some modern folk who want their children to call them by their names, but we're not talking about that. We most times refer to our parents in a respectful term, mother, father, dad, pops, poppy, different appellations we provide, but it indicates a relationship. Hallowed, holy is this name that you possess. But in going through in this passage, it says, your kingdom come. Now, I could spend time going through this passage to show you and indicate to you that we are to use these components in our prayers. They can be expanded, quite lengthy, in fact. You'll get that information when you receive the CDs that I've offered in today's program, The Positive Power of Prayer. But in this indication, it's an outline. So if I were to ask God that his kingdom come, what kinds of things would I say? Well, I would look around the world and see how the world is doing. Can you do that analysis right now? Where you may live, it may be an idyllic setting. You may be in a pristine backwater town, as they might describe it, where there's very little crime. But if you live in metropolitan areas like many of us do, you know that there's a problem. Whether it's crowded conditions on the freeway, whether it's smog in certain parts of the country where the air is tough to breathe, whether it's stealing, robbing, and killing, and maiming that's going on, or perhaps just political intrigue of the highest order throughout the nation, whether in our local representation or whether at the national levels, we find a need for the desire for God to set His kingdom up on the earth to answer the problems and conditions that face us. It would be important that God knows you recognize the need for His kingdom to come. Your will be done as in heaven, so in earth. You know that there's no one rebelling against God in heaven. And so you want to acquiesce. You want to acknowledge that in your life, in your view, in your perspective, you want God to know, you want Him to be active, that His will be done. You know what Paul wrote to the church at Rome in the 12th chapter? He says, that you may prove, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or intelligent service, that you might prove what is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God, which is your intelligent service. Now, think about it. You want God to have impact and influence in this world, so you ask for it. You ask for these things that He's putting down here. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, many of us ask for more than our daily bread. See, we want some bling bling. We want cheddar, or as they say, that's what they have as a terminology for money. We want it piled higher and deeper. We want plenty of it, and without any question, we want houses and land and cars and clothes and travel and all kinds of things. But Jesus Christ here says, ask for what you need today. And it's amazing how God, when He sees your heart and your intent, gives you more. When the King Solomon asked for wisdom versus financing and wealth, God responded by saying, you have humbled yourself in such a spectacular way and ask merely for wisdom to rule your people. I'm going to give you wisdom, and on top of that, wealth and riches, because you didn't ask for it. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? With all the prosperity preachers around, they're indicating that if you just name it and claim it and speak it and say it because it's in the Word of God, then that's what you will acquire. As if God does not require obedience, if He doesn't require transformation of ourselves in character and approach and repentance and those kinds of things that will predate the gifts that He can give us. No, it's far more than prosperity. But Christ here says you can ask for your daily bread. Then He makes this statement. Here's what you can pray for. Forgive us our sins, for as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Forgive those who are indebted to us so that we can be forgiven. And then it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Many translations add the appropriate term, from the evil one, from the satanic influence that is permeating this world. Now, here Jesus gives an example of a style and a type and a manner of prayer. But then He segues immediately into a parable about a persistent friend. Now, rather than reading all of it to you, I want to indicate how we misunderstand this. The parable starts out by saying, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in a journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within side shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend. And the operative term here is friend. Yet because of his importunity, it's a word we don't use very much in the English language now, it just means persistence. Because of his persistence, he will arise and give him as many as he needs. I say unto you, Jesus now is going to sum up what he is trying to teach to the disciples about prayer. Now the question is he saying that if you just worry God to death, the Father, if you just keep bugging him, you know, a bug, just bug him until he just gives. You know how we are with our own children. You say to them when they come to you shortly before dinner, mommy, daddy, can I have a cookie? And you said, no, because it will spoil your dinner appetite and so forth, so we're not giving you the cookie. But if they keep bugging you, If they keep begging you, if they keep plugging, many times we acquiesce and because of their persistence give them the cookie, knowing it's not good for them, knowing that you have, well, they have found your weakness and worn you out. Is that how God is? Does God respond by just saying, oh, well, I just have to give in because they have bugged me so much about something that they want? Is that what Jesus is saying? Well, I suggest to you, my friends, that that is not it at all. He is not responding that way. Look at what Jesus says. He says, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be open. But then he goes on to explain something. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, remember the operative term in that parable was friend. But our relationship is deeper than a friend with God. That means that as a heavenly father, would he respond and give in to us asking for something that is not good for us, not appropriate for us? So the object of the story was not persistence in order to get God to respond. Look at what he says in this rest of the passage. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Ah, so if we bug God about a new Rolls Royce, bug God about a new address, bug God about some kind of trivial thing that we know would make us happy, an extensive world trip to go here and there, and we expect that if we just keep pounding God and hounding him and begging him, he will give in. No, here's what Jesus says. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will the father give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he, referencing the Holy Father, give a fish, give him a serpent? Or what about shall you ask for an egg and you get a scorpion in return? No, the father would not do that. But we must ask. And so verse 13 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, this is quite a twist. How many times do you have to ask the Father for the Holy Spirit? Just once. Just once. So what is it that you desire from God? Better marital relationship? Perhaps healing of your physical body? Forgiveness of your sins? What is it that you desire from God? What is it that you want him to do for you? It is our suggestion here on the Armor of God that you must have a relationship with God whereby he can respond as a father would to a son or a daughter, appropriately. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit or any good gift if you ask him? The art of prayer is significant. In the 18th chapter in the same book here of Luke, it says in chapter 18 and verse 1, it says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, this is Jesus speaking, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. My friends, I'm encouraging you today. If you are in the need of a relationship with our Heavenly Father, if you are in the need to know more how to pray, you can simply get in touch with us and we can supply you with what you would need to comprehend the prayer, comprehend how to pray, comprehend how to connect with our Heavenly Father and begin receiving the very things that you have a desire of from him. Because he will not give you that which will be harmful to you. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and said, we should pray without ceasing, continuously. I'm encouraging you to make the toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791 to obtain the 2-CD set entitled Positive Power of Prayer. It can be yours absolutely free when you dial toll-free 1-888-578-8791. Till next time, this is Bronson James here on the Armor of God reminding you, put on the whole armor of God, which includes prayer, that you will be able to stand in the evil day.
You know, on today's program, Mr. Bronson James introduced to us a dimension of prayer that perhaps some of us haven't thought about it in that way. And that was that he mentioned to us that prayer is all about asking. And yes, in many respects, it is about asking, but I think many of us understand that asking takes on a lot of different forms and fashions. But any way you look at it, prayer is very important. And do you know why it's important, my friends? Because it is crucial in the developing of a relationship, and in this case, a relationship with God. Now, why do I say that? I say that because you know and I know that in any relationship that you or I would like to maintain, if indeed we expect it to be healthy and strong, it requires communications. Prayer is communication with God. And that's important that we do communicate with God. You see, because it's all about developing faith. And prayer will help you to develop your faith. Now, why do I say that? Because as you begin to communicate with God, you will begin to see God becoming more active in your life. And as your prayers, because answered prayer is part of the proof of a living God in the universe, your prayers, though, in particular, become answered, you'll build evidence that will be reciprocal in the helping of your faith to solidify and develop and strengthen. And that's good. It's like many of the examples that were shown by Mr. James today from your Bible that illustrate that same principle in the stories that he explained. Won't you let us help you to better understand how prayer can be more meaningful in your life? Dial now 888-578-8791 and get this two-part series that Mr. Bronson James has given before a live audience titled, they're both available now, free on CD, titled The Positive Power of Prayer, Part 1 and Part 2. Call, as I say, 888-578-8791 and hit us on our website, by the way, at www.cgi.org. There are additional pieces of information there free for the asking. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, as we often do on this program, to keep on that armor of God.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
We wanted to take this opportunity to invite you to a free public Bible lecture conducted by Mr. Bill Watson in Indianapolis, Indiana on February 10th. We assure you the topic will be very informative. We'll begin at 1 p.m., the Garden Baptist Church, 1725 South Raceway Road, Indianapolis, is the location. There will be no collections. This is presented as a free public educational service sponsored by the local congregation of the Church of God International.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.